Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Advanced Practice Weekly. My name is AJ Batt and I will be your host. Today, I'm joined by another special guest from the mental health arena. I'm going to let her introduce herself and talk to us a little bit about what she does. So, Laura, welcome to the programme.
Thank you. So my name's Laura Pizaneski. I'm a mental health nurse by background. I'm an advanced clinical practitioner, and I'm currently working in a GP surgery in East London NHS Foundation.
Thank you, Laura. So, Laura, we wanted to get you on the programme today because you've had a bit of an interesting journey along with a couple of your other colleagues where you did a master's at LSBU. And so can you just tell me when you started your career in mental health nursing? Or did you start as a mental health nurse or did you start out as an adult nurse?
Yeah, so I started out as a mental health nurse. I qualified 12, 13 years ago, and I started working in community mental health straight away.
Have you always stayed in community mental health nurse? Have you ever sort of gone off into other arenas or have you always stayed there?
I was in community mental health for quite a while, and then I moved into crisis services, and I was working in an A&E department in central London in crisis services, and that's when I started the ACP route.
And can you just explain to our listeners that might not know anything about mental health, just a very sort of brief sort of summary of what community mental health actually means? What kind of patients do you see?
So I was working with patients who had treatment resistant schizophrenia. So I was working in a antipsychotic clinic called the clozapine clinic. And so this clozapine is a medication that helps people with treatment resistant schizophrenia. So I was seeing people who were coming in from their own homes, but needing some support with their mental health, but they weren't in hospital. So they were coming to see us. They might have had care coordinators or other people to support them, but they weren't in hospital. They were getting that support at home.
Right. So this is quite a way ahead of its time, isn't it? It's about treating people outside of hospital in the community, trying to keep people at home in their own safe environments rather than into the hospital environment. So you were doing this quite some time ago. And then you said you moved into, was it crisis centre, was it?
Yeah, so I moved into crisis services. I moved into mental health liaison. So seeing people who come into the emergency departments, either for a physical health need or for a mental health need, both in A&E and upstairs on any of the acute wards.
So would you be working closely with the psych liaison? Are you part of the, liaison team? Is that you? Right.
Yeah.
And would there be a psychiatrist on call as well with you within that team?
Yeah. So the team had about 11 psychiatrists. So an awful lot of them.
Wow. So quite a large community of patients you were looking after.
Yeah, very much so.
Great. Okay. So then what sort of prompted you to head into the advanced practice world? Talk us through that part of your journey in your life. Why did you think about stepping into becoming an advanced practitioner?
So when I was training, I was really interested in prescribing medications. And then once I qualified and was working for a couple of years, I went on to do the non-medical prescribing route. And I trained as a prescriber for a few years. And I was doing this for about 7 years before I started the advanced practice route. I didn't really know very much about advanced practice. And then this offer came up in our trust that we could train, but you had to already be prescribers. So I was in a fortunate position that I was a prescriber. And it was looking at those kind of the four pillars just really interested me. And it was another opportunity to advance my career. But to be honest, I didn't really know very much about it other than it was the next step and that I'd already done some of it, having been a prescriber already.
Yeah, I think for a lot of people, especially I remember when I did mine, I didn't really know what I was embarking on. I had no idea the amount of work that was involved. So for yourself, though, yours was a little bit more challenging than a traditional master's route, wasn't it? Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, so I went down the apprenticeship route, which is more intense. It's so we started in January 2021 and we finished in December 2022. So quite an intense route. We were doing two modules at the same time. And so for all of your hours, the clinical hours that you need to do double the amount of hours. So our colleagues would do 36 hours of practice-based learning and we would do 72 hours of practice-based learning. Two modules meant two lots of exams, two lots of coursework at the same time as having a full-time job.
That sounds quite intense.
Yeah.
But I guess the upside to that is it's done in 2 years, isn't it? So it's two really tough years. But you've really, I guess your life just goes on hold for those 2 years, doesn't it? Pretty much.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Okay, great. And you did that at LSBU that we know. So we've already spoken to one of your other colleagues that has done the same. And we're going to speak to another one next week, I think, which is, I'm going to try and put you all together and see the themes that come across this Your few little stories. So tell us a little bit now about how your job has changed as an advanced practitioner. What's different from before? Obviously, you've got a bit of experience in those four pillars. What's now changed for you?
So I think when I was approaching qualifying, we kind of worked out in my current team that it wasn't really possible to use it. So I was working in an operational leadership position, and although the four pillars were kind of part of the role, it wasn't possible to embed it very much. But as a result of doing the course, other opportunities came along, and I was actually offered a new job working in primary care, but seeing people with mental health issues. And so actually having the training, as I could already prescribe, but it's kind of helped me not just prescribing, but with diagnosing, really thinking through a plan. And the team that I'm working in, I'm the only one with any mental health knowledge. So it really is kind of using all of those skills and thinking through how best to support somebody in a true holistic way.
So it's much more of kind of like an MDT kind of role. And am I assuming a lot of your primary care colleagues will approach you for advice about their patients? So they will come to you for that help with somebody that has got some mental health problems, or is a patient that isn't, say, coping with a particular type of medication for their mental health needs. So they will come to you as that subject expert. Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah, very true. Yeah, absolutely.
Great. So, and I guess that's quite rare in primary care, isn't it, to have somebody like that? And are you working within a group of GP practices, or within like a PCN or an ICS, or how does it work?
So it's with a PCN.
Okay, and how many GPs work in that PCN? Is it a big practice or?
It's quite a big practice. It's a practice that works with people who are homeless and refugees. So there's quite a large amount of patients and people kind of coming through, and there's a lot of unmet mental health need, especially some of the refugees who are coming through who might have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder or might have had other mental health conditions but just haven't had medication or haven't had any input because of traveling and because of not being able to seek support.
Right, so some of these patients you're seeing, and then you might be the first mental health practitioner they've ever met in
Yeah,
some
definitely.
cases. Wow, so it's very, very early diagnosis stuff then. So that must be really interesting for you.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's really helped having those kind of skills and some of the advanced clinical skills in doing assessments as well. So looking at how we do physical health assessments, having that true kind of overview of how to support somebody.
Great stuff. Okay, brilliant. Anything else you want to add, Laura?
The kind of thing that I found really challenging, and I'm hoping it won't be for the future, is doing it online. So I really did struggle with the online learning and doing online clinical skills. I have neurodiversity, and trying to learn how to do stuff remotely, I really struggled with. So I kind of would say to people to think about how the learning is as well and what your learning style is. I know we talked in kind of nursing early on, like what's everybody's different learning styles, but I didn't really think about it as much when I was doing a course. When you're doing advanced clinical skills, when you're learning how to watch somebody, I found that quite a challenge.
Yeah, I think, well, COVID didn't help, did it? And you were right bang in the middle of that, weren't you, for your training? And yeah, and I've had colleagues that were on courses and they were being taught how to do assessment of a limb over Zoom, and it just was so difficult. You really need to get hands on with that kind of stuff, don't you? It's really difficult to do. I get that. Yeah, okay, great. And then I guess what's the future for you now? What are you looking for other things to do, or do you need a bit of a break for a while?
When I was finishing the course, I told my mum to tell me that I wasn't allowed to do anything else. But realistically, I think I'm looking at other opportunities. And I think when you've been doing so much studying, it just makes you think, like, actually, what else is out there and what
Yeah.
next? And I think the kind of world of advanced practice has opened up lots of different things. So, yeah, at the moment, I'm quite happy, but I think I probably will start looking at other things and other opportunities.
Well, Laura, thank you so much for joining us. And thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning into Advanced Practice Weekly. And we'll see you again next week.